How do I love thee? Let me count the ways. I love thee to the depth and breadth and height my soul can reach, when feeling out of sight for the ends of being and ideal grace. I love thee to the level of every day's most quiet need, by sun and candlelight. Oh, sorry, I did not notice you there. Honestly, Sonic Ring Lady, it's been a number of weeks since I sent you a symbol of my love for you. His name is Ewan. He did not get round to reading the poem to you for some reason. Maybe he was too busy talking about films and television, or maybe that's what I get for hiring a 10-pound striptease. Anyway, here's episode 2.9.
Willkommen aus Breakfurfrogger 2.9. My name is Cameron Phillips, which you should probably bloody well know by now. On my left I have...
Tom Oates.
On my right I have...
Jody Al.
Out in cyberspace, Galston Town, as usual we have...
You and Taylor?
Who, now we've retaken this, isn't going to call himself Sammy or Nasri. Because we could have worked a nice little joke around that,
just,
but never mind, I wasn't.
Just to get it out of the way with, fuck you.
Oh, see? See, he goes on Sonic's ring and he comes back all insolent.
Aye.
He goes, he gets a lack of discipline and a lack of respect from them two, and now he's back, giving it loudly to us.
He's worse than Hulk Hogan, he is.
Oh, terrible, terrible. Also, as a special guest this month, he's mentioned it and begged and pleaded to come on the show often enough in the past, and now finally, we've brought him on. He's the Furiak to the AC to the 3, Furiak 3, Fury, how are you doing?
Ah, not bad. Long time listener, first time caller.
As they say on Seinfeld. Right, not really. It wasn't Seinfeld, was it? It was Frasier. What am I getting Seinfeld and Frasier confused with?
They used to say it on Night Owls.
Did they say it on Night Owls?
No one here will have a clue what I'm talking about with Night Owls. It was, it probably still is. It's a late night chat show on Newcastle Radio, Metro Radio to be precise.
Aye.
Hosted by Alan Robson in the Night Owls. And he used to go, and you're through to the Night Owls, like, what do you want to discuss tonight? And he's like, oh, Alan, like, I've just seen a ghost in the attic, man. He's like, oh, describe this ghost. And they used to have Halloween specials, he did.
This sounds like the greatest radio show in the world.
Also, was anybody else amused by Al parodying the Geordie accent?
Yes!
Yeah, Al's parodying the Newcastle accent just blew my mind just there. I thought it was really bad when I tried to impersonate you. You know, when I'm sitting at work going, why are you like, you know, you can fuck off with your lenses, like, you know, because they're fucking fine. We'll launch straight into the what you playing section, and it's traditional that the guest goes first, so Mr. Cullen, if you would.
I'm playing Gears of War, but I've got a new addiction that is Burnout Crash, which is... just a cheeky arcade game. Came out last Wednesday, 800 points. Simple as anything. Just, you're a car, take the car to the junction, car hits traffic, car explodes. And then you just keep exploding and ricocheting up your score as high as you can within the allotted time. It's wired into Autolog, which, as you guys already know, is the crack
not
that drove
again.
Need for
not
Speed.
Again. Digital shit stirring his Autolog.
Yeah, it's trying to set times, beat each other's score and stuff, and I think I've done the first three levels like 29 times, trying to beat everybody on my friends list, just so I can say I've done it, you know. Great cracking wee game. I'm definitely worth a look as well. And as for Gears, it's Gears of War, isn't it? You know what I mean? You either love it or you hate it.
Well, I hate it.
It's not that bad.
I tried the first one, and it was so outrageously dull. I'm one of these people that subscribes to the theory that Gears of War is just a shooter with shades of grey and move forward, take cover, shoot, move forward, take cover. Sorry, I just didn't see the love.
Just describe my love life there, right?
Pretty much, yeah. That's all. Take cover, shoot. It gets worse, Fury. Don't worry. It just gets worse. There's a lot we edit out of his, you know.
I'm starting to get that.
You don't edit any of my stuff out. Oh, and that's what happened to the vicar. Right.
He had a scary look in his eyes for a second there.
He did have a scary look in his eyes. Aye. He's rocking back and forth now, actually. I'm going to look away.
Yeah, I'm hulking up. It's not good.
You're hulking up? Is that what you call it? Christ. Right then.
I've got a really bad leg and I'm off to train some midgets.
Okay, no problem. So is Gears of War 3 as good as the other two, in your opinion then, Fury? If you like the first two, are you going to dig Gears 3?
At the end of the day, it's one of the cornerstones of Xbox gaming, and as I'm a Xbox gamer, I don't own a PlayStation. Aye. So Halo and a few other bits and pieces are kind of the staple diet, and so far so good. I've played a little bit of campaign, not much. I'm kind of saving it because I've been doing the online side, because when the game was released, I had to go somewhere, which we'll discuss later, and I was away there for 5 days, so I didn't really get much time to spend on the multiplayer, so I'm level 25 just now. I really enjoy the online side. It's fast, frantic, and a lot more streamlined. It's what you'd want for it. As for the story mode, I follow the story kind of pretty well, and I read the comics and that, and it's between 2 and 3, I feel the gap's too big, if you know what I mean. And the second one, Jacinto, I'm sure it's Jacinto, gets sunk at the end, and it was the last human city, and the King Ravens are flying away, and Marcus is hanging out the chopper, and the theory is his dad's alive. In the third one, it starts off with Hoffman, who's like the colonel, has took guys to a different part of the world. The Grand Chancellor is basically turned a coward and ran away, and this has all happened under no gameplay, if you know what I mean. It's just like, the guy that was in charge has ran away in the 2 years it's took to release this game. What happened? And it's just like the gap feels too big for me. Not too big, but just a wee bit annoying, if you know what I mean.
There's a lot of detail missing, you mean?
So, again, I'm only on chapter 2, so.
Oh, well.
You don't know what might be on the horizon, you know. So far, so good, you know what I mean? It's gears by the numbers, you know what I mean?
Aye. Well, it's not going to be in, you know, it wasn't really going to be expecting anything else, was it?
It's the staple diet of every FPS, for Vanquish to Binary Domain, you know what I mean? They all play with the cover dynamic, you know what I mean? Gears was the first to really do it well, and since then everything has done it, so it's like they know what they're doing, you know? Production value, and it's brilliant and stuff, you know? So it's,
no argument with that. I've no argument with the production value and the quality that's gone into it. It's just the gameplay that kind of wasn't really my cup of tea.
It's good in co-op, but I was going to say, they've upped the game this time, because instead of being just 2-player co-op, in the past, Gears of War's always been one goes Marcus, one goes Dom. Well, in this one, it's upped it to 4-player co-op. So fundamentally, you can have you and your 3 mates going through it. And I think I've now played 4-player co-op. I'm planning a game of Horde tomorrow night to try it. And I think that'll be really good. Because the whole dynamic of having another 2 guys instead of AI makes things a bit more fresher, if you know what I mean. Bringing in the whole cooperative thing brings in the whole banter on that. And it really takes it to a different level, you know what I mean? It's a whole, Dead Island, Left 4 Dead scenario, isn't it? Fundamentally, you play them yourself, they're shite, because basically all your dens running about an open world killing hundreds of zombies. Add your mates in and then you get a laugh,
it becomes your own kind of story then. Alan, what have you been playing?
What have I been playing? Well, I don't know if I've been playing much, but instead I think I'll just regale you with a couple of stories. First of all, the epic conclusion to the washing machine
story. Oh, yes, I've been waiting for about this.
I'm sure all the listeners have.
Of course.
All right then. Red, blue, that was the question.
It was.
It was a summer's morning when we drove into B&Q car park at around 11:30 a.m.
Is it wrong?
We entered the plumbing department to discover, oh my God, I've frozen my steps. Red, blue, or grey. What would I do under such pressure of having these 3 to choose from? Oh my Lord, it was too much for me.
Soiled his underwear.
He soiled his underwear.
No, it was soiled when I went in. Anyway, after much deliberation, we went for the blue.
Mm-hmm.
We brought it home.
Aye.
We plumbed it in.
Aye.
Worked a treat.
Right.
We put the washing machine on.
All right.
It went on a long time.
Uh-huh.
It was not draining for some reason.
Right.
Right.
So I fiddled with the outlet pipe.
You fiddled with your pipe.
Aye. Which then came off of my hand.
Right.
And proceeded to shoot water all over the kitchen floor.
Sure,
I was like, I was like, Emily, get the bucket for fuck's sake, right? And literally, it went everywhere.
Mike, I've just flooded my kitchen. I want to come in night hours.
Just for comedy. Everywhere. Just for comedy, but it was doing that. Did the Benny Hill theme tune play? Is it holding that pipe?
I hope so. In my mind, it's doing it now.
No mind is doing it as well. It's funny.
Go on,
so,
then.
So I then discovered the reason behind this was the fact somebody very kindly plugged up the hole that led into the sink.
Right.
So now I've removed the blockage. My washing machine is working fine, but it took 3 days for the kitchen carpet to dry out.
Is that it?
Well, that's comedy story number one.
Oh.
Comedy story number two. This is another one.
Great, carry on.
Well, as you well know, kind of loosely computer game related. I play the Yu-Gi-Oh card game.
You do, yes.
And Yu-Gi-Oh card game, I used to use an internet site on the internet to to order my cards off.
Aye.
Called Cool Kingdom. They were notorious for selling cards they don't have and putting them on back order.
Right.
Without telling you. So
okay.
I bought these 3 cards, not worth much, about £3. And they didn't turn up, and they're on back order, right?
Uh-huh.
And they're on back order for a while. I phoned up, nothing, phoned them again, nothing. And it said, can you send something else out instead of it? Anything else out? Oh, yeah, we'll do that. Still nothing, right? So anyway, last week, I got an email to say my order had been dispatched. I had to ring up, change the address, because I've moved. And
of course.
Sure enough, they turned up on my doorstep.
Uh-huh.
How long has this item been on back order for?
6 weeks.
Any other guesses?
I'm going to go with 8 weeks.
2.5 years.
2.5 years.
I'll have to brought the paper because it's so unbelievable.
He has an all, actually. Wow.
It has been on order, my friends.
Drumroll.
If I find the exact date for 3 years, 4 months,
shit.
And 4 days.
Round of applause.
And as I'm going to prove to my colleagues, that was the date it was ordered on there.
Oh my god.
That was the date it was delivered on there.
Okay, could you put a picture of this on the blog, please, so I can see this?
We certainly will.
We probably have to, yeah. This is quite...
Unbelievable.
Wow. I can't believe the cheek of the email they sent me saying, "We're sorry your order took so long. Here is a 15% discount.
Dear Mr. Al, are you still alive? ? Would you still like this item?"
Jesus, can you believe? I couldn't believe that. I thought it was gone. I'd give up about it in 2000 and... Well, you know, about Christmas time I give up. Well, not 2008, you know, and then...
Right. Okay, it's good to see they're better late than never, Al.
I thought I had to mention this just because it's so unbelievable, I think.
Ewan.
Hello.
Have you been fiddling with your washing machine and all?
No, sadly, no. I don't have any washing machine or any kitchen appliance stories, I'm afraid. I've got something about a
game,
I'm afraid.
Shame that, actually. All right, about games.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about games.
Gaming pod.
No,
is this a gaming podcast?
No,
it was washing
no
machine and card games.
No comic.
No comic either. I know what you're doing.
See, I'd like to just point out that's Fury turning the knife, not us.
Yeah, it's the guest that's been begging to get on here.
It's not Fury that had to taste the bitterness of disappointment about you possibly leaving. But never mind, carry on.
Can I carry on? Okay.
You carry on. Carry on. Go.
The game last month was a game I'm sure other members of this podcast will mention in a minute, called Deus Ex, but I'll save my piece about that.
Yes!
Needless to say, I didn't play Deus Ex much this month. The past month, I've been playing Dead Island.
Ah, now I'm interested to hear this, because apparently all the reviews I've read say this is a bucket of shit.
I like this game. I like this game a lot, actually.
The trailer looked really promising. It was the backwards trailer, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was the one.
You playing it yourself, or you playing it when co-op?
Well, I'm playing by myself at the moment, because I don't know anybody on PlayStation.
Wonder what the noise was.
Mainly because I don't have many PS3 friends.
Well, you're about to have another one.
Am I?
Right.
All right.
Delivered tomorrow.
Oh.
Someone's bought himself a PS3 on Break for Frogger.
Yay!
Oh, yeah.
His name is Tom.
Yay!
Ewan got excited.
I got very excited. Yay! It's the first good thing I've heard all day.
Hey! What, not our voices?
What? Your voices are like the joint first. How about that?
Okay, everyone's a winner.
Exactly.
Everyone's a winner.
Everyone's a winner.
Just
anyway,
avoiding
Dead
losing.
Island. We'll eventually get to talk about this game. Sorry.
Yeah, keep going.
Dead
got a lot to fit in.
Dead Island is a first-person survival horror action-adventure type game extravaganza with RPG elements included as well. It's got a lot of things going for it. Basically, the plot is you're stuck on Papua New Guinea. You wake up in your hotel room and realize there's been a zombie outbreak. Some kind of...
As you do.
I know, it's an original storyline. Actually, Lara mentioned this as well. It's like, is there any other way that zombie outbreaks can happen apart from, like, a vaccine or, you know, something being spread out? Like, I don't think anyone's come up with an idea of a zombie fairy yet, but, you know, if they want to do that, this fairy flying around turning people into zombies, I'd be up to see that.
That'd be pretty cool. I'm just going to interrupt. Anyone remember the cartoon Centurions from the 80s?
Yes.
They had Zombie Master, who had a little staff and he used to point it at people and they became zombies.
That's absolutely brilliant.
There you go. Well, there you go. Yeah.
It exists. Georgie Howe comes through once again.
Oh, yes.
But yeah, basically you play one of four people. And your aim, surprisingly enough, is to get off the island alive and not a zombie. The good thing is, they find out early on in the game that for some odd reason, I don't quite know why yet, you're impervious to the zombie attacks, aka if you get bitten, nothing's going to happen to you. You're not going to turn into a zombie or anything. And essentially, it follows
it's
the trend...
It's the same in Resident Evil, isn't it? Zombies bite in Resident Evil, they're just... The game would be very short if you turned into a zombie after your first
attack.
That
is true. It'd be a very short game, and it would be kind of have the same reaction like I did with Deus Ex. Swear at it, call it a number of names, and never play it again. But like I say, we'll get to Deus Ex shortly.
Well, probably when me and Tom start talking about it in a minute.
Yes, around about that time, I will mention something, yes.
Okay.
The main kind of focus of combat, instead of boom boom sticks and explosives, it's mainly focused on melee combat and using kind of what's around you. So, you know, weapons such as, I say weapons, like oars, bats, pretty much anything you can find to pick up, you can use as a weapon in this game.
So similar to
Dead Rising.
Yeah, that's fair.
Left 4 Dead 2?
I was saying
again,
Outbreak.
Yes, I've been very obvious influences. Those two are a couple of them.
Okay. Other than it being on set on an island, what separates it from Left 4 Dead 2? That's what I'm struggling with.
Left 4 Dead 2 focused a lot.
Is it more?
Was good. I mean.
Oh, he bites.
To be honest, I've heard so. Like, I was talking to. Somebody said to me, right? One of the characters is female in Dead Island, right? And they refer to her as a man through the whole campaign.
Do they?
Yeah,
Edge wrote this as well.
She was playing as her, and she was like, yeah, it keeps talking to me as if I'm a man, right? And then the other thing, which I thought was quite funny, was. The character, I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but the characters are ignorant, i.e. one will start speaking, and then one speaks over the top of him.
I've not.
And the
it's
audio
like this
just crisscrossing, a bit like, you know what I mean? a bit like an episode of Sonic's Ring. It's just to keep cheering on each other, you know what I mean? For no joy.
That's just a bit mad.
Somebody's getting hate mail from Dave.
Pretty much. Call me a cunt.
Apparently they're patching it like maniacs, these crazy Polish guys.
I've had two patches in this past week. One hilarious moment I've come up with so far is during one of the main quests, you go to a beach and all of a sudden the other three characters are inexplicably there, and the character you play inexplicably knows these people. Did I miss something here? How do you know these people?
You might have met them before you went on holiday. You might have went to the airport, discussed duty free with them.
What, discussed duty free? What? Yeah. That's a cheap MP3 player over there. Like,
exactly. You know, in fact, they were running a cigarette smuggling syndicate, and they were discussing whereabouts to meet up in Pinchham at the start. You see, that was the point.
They were running a cigarette syndicate.
We need to get Al to make his perfect game one of these days.
No, just don't. Because it's going to be like, though the basis of it would be Vice City, let's face it, because 80's enough for them.
It'll be you're going along Vice City and for no reason at all, you just fall into a hole repeatedly.
We could create a new section.
What?
Based around Al trying to pitch this game idea to games companies.
Oh my god, genius.
Every month you send a letter to a dev and go, "Dear Dev, can I Jim will fix it style?"
Dear Team Bondi, oh.
Oh, dear.
Sorry, they no longer exist.
Dear Guildford Studios. Oh, wait a minute. You've made a crap game, so you get shot. Body count, don't touch it.
Yep. Anyway, so Dead Rising, going back to that.
Aye. Dead Island, even,
oh,
going
yeah,
back to that.
Oh, yeah, sorry, I've done it now.
Oh, Freudian slip.
Freudian.
Whoopsies.
Right, he finished his cigarette smuggling racket. What's he doing now?
Oh, Jesus. They've actually now moved on to the alcohol aisle. No.
I was going to say, you know, Skinny Hank is on a mission in it where you have to keep retrieving alcohol for something. I'm
yes.
As well.
What was hilarious about that is I put that side mission and I had enough alcohol on me, so I completed the mission immediately.
Nice.
I just thought that was a waste of a mission. It's like, go get 6 bottles of alcohol. I had 8 on me. I immediately completed the mission within 30 seconds. It's a good game. Yes, it copies off every single zombie game known to mankind. Will I complete it? Probably not. I am trying to play as much as I can with it right now, but the urge to play it is slowly dissipating away.
Right, so concise. Me and Tom will probably just go together on this one, so to speak.
Sexy time.
So,
sexy not time because I've got 2 things to just say otherwise.
Go on.
I have been playing, aside from Deus Ex, Child of Eden, which beautiful. Has impressed me quite greatly. Yeah, it is really is beautiful. I mean, I like Rez. It's just taken that to a whole nother level.
Don't play Rez drunk, it's scary.
I have played Rez drunk. I'm crap at it, and I agree.
It's scary.
How much did you pay for it, Tom, at interest?
£20.
See, Blockbuster were doing it for a tenner.
Ooh.
Never.
Yeah, that at my buying price was, it had to be lower than the PlayStation pre-order, which everybody knows is £15. Why, I don't know. But I was not going to pay above £15 for it, and Blockbuster were doing it for a tenner. Bump, cash, buy.
Oh, done.
Viva life.
Bloody hell. So, not bad.
Just
not bad.
Watch the prices, as they say, boys. Watch the prices.
Other than that, I've been playing a lot of Burnout on the original Xbox. Burnout 3.
Takedown?
Is it Takedown or is it Revenge?
It's Takedown. Revenge was the 4th.
Okay. Yeah, Takedown then. I had never played it before.
Really?
Yeah, until this week. Ah. When my housemate went, have you ever played Burnout? And I went, aside from Paradise, no.
Yeah.
Oh, Paradise is a bad way to start.
So yeah. Playing like virtually every Crash Junction.
Yeah.
Become addicted to crashing.
Yeah.
Is that on the old console or is that actually on the virtual console, Tom? Just one.
That's on the old console. I've got a original Crystal Xbox.
Ooh. I was going to say that's one of the few downloadable titles that, like the original, like Scrubs the Zombie, Black, Halo, Jade Empire, stuff like that. That's one of the downloadable ones. I think you can get it for like £3 or something. It's pretty cool.
Hmm.
Oh god, that's
It's pretty smart. It's well cool. Well cool. I remember playing Death at the time. But anyway, should we get on about Deus Ex?
Deus Ex
Human Revolution, which I purchased on release day and chipped away at, and I spent the last 3 nights playing it probably for about 4 hours at a time, finally finishing it last night or the night before, I think I finished it.
Okay.
And
you sent me a late night text when you did.
I did. I sent you a late night text because you were really interested. It's difficult to talk about Deus Ex without giving away parts of the story, and we're not gonna. We, me and Tom might do our own little mini episode of Break for Frog Out in which we spoilerize the entire game for anyone that's interested in after they finished it, and we'll keep that separate.
Let's just say there may be potential spoilers here, but not Jordi Alb destroying the entire series of games.
Destroying a 2-year-old fucking game, for God's sake.
You get so angry, that's why I love it.
I traded in my professional weight in the day I heard that. I actually cried. I wept. I broke down and wept on the train because I'm like, I was only 4 puzzles for the end. 4 puzzles.
See how you made people cry.
The ending was shit anyway.
It didn't mean it's shit. It just
and after hearing that, I took the Blu-ray and threw it out the window and went, I don't want to watch that movie.
But anyway, Deus Ex Human Revolution is probably closer in spirit and style to the original Deus Ex of 2000 than anyone dared admit, because it's just the way the animation is and the way the facial animation is, it's essentially they've taken like a high-res version of the old Deus Ex gameplay, basically, which is no bad thing, because I loved Deus Ex at the time, and I loved Human Revolution. And I thought it was absolutely fantastic. I finished it and have many, many happy, great memories of it, really. Storyline, which is your usual kind of... It's sci-fi guff, really, but it's quite good sci-fi guff. And really, really atmospheric and well-designed locations. And really just damn enjoyable. Just the ability to make your own stamp on the character and kind of, like, through the augmentation system, manipulate Adam Jensen to the style you want to play. I mean, it can be a complete out-and-out cover shooter, or it can be a sort of stealth game. Is just quite cool, I always thought. The only bother is the boss battles in it, which are shite.
Agreed.
Really, to be honest.
Nah, I don't agree there.
What, the boss battles in Deus Ex?
So far, I'm up at the big boss. The first guy was a piece of piss, and I had no guns on me. And everybody sat on Twitter going, these are terrible. And I'm going to myself, what the hell? And I'm like, all you do is... Is that a spoiler because he's the first boss?
No, not really. Just don't give away who he is in the story.
Yes, I'll never buy the game again if I know how the first boss is defeated.
Well, fundamentally, you walk into the room, there's lots of containers, and there's the guy. And at this point, I had only a trank gun. And it took me two goes because once I realised there was a gun locker in a room to the left.
There's two gun lockers.
You run in. Is there? Oh, and we found the one with the shotty and the EMP grenade.
Yeah, there's two.
And the big canister. Because what I did was I just lobbed the canister, chucked the grenade, and then just kept shotgunning them. And I killed him. Like, I'm playing it on Deus Ex mode, like, the hardest difficulty. And I dropped him in maybe, a clip and a half. And I was like, well, he's piss easy. And then all I had was, folk who remain nameless going on Twitter and fucking bitching. And I'm going, hold on a minute. Are you playing the same game as me here? Because I just finished him in hard mode and he was easy. It was probably the most enjoyable bit, enemy to fight because of a wee bit of tactics. But realistically, it was never a stumbling block. And everybody's acting as if it's the worst thing since sliced bread. And I'm like, hold on a minute, what's going on here, folk? You know what I mean?
I think people are mourning the fact that there was actually dedicated boss battles in the game in 2011.
Aye, but do you not see that? Aye, but see the thing as well, but do you not see the whole. They dug a wee bit deeper and they found out they leased out the boss battles to another company?
Yeah, really? Group Entertainment programmed them.
Yeah,
they're not made by Eidos Montreal.
Oh dear.
The boss battle section.
Yeah,
and Group Entertainment have admitted that they didn't know the story at all. They just basically got told, oh, well, here's the fella you're going to have as a boss. There you go, program a boss battle. So they didn't really have a clue. Sure. So that's why people are sort of thinking if they design their character for stealth, then they're having a real big bother with him at the end because he just comes at you with a Gatling gun.
But they put this is my argument, is they've put the stuff in the room to kill him. Yeah, okay, you are no ready for him, but if you dodge and invade him, you will find equipment in the area. And I'm sure that's the same with every boss battle, is they've purposely built in, because, spoiler, there's an achievement for making it through the whole game without killing a single guy, but the bosses. So they've built it into the fabric of the game that you have to kill the bosses. So that tells me there's going to be equipment for me to kill the boss in every area I've been a boss.
Mm.
You're quite well tooled up. You get opportunity to get tooled up. I mean, the second boss battle, there's an armory you can break into, which has everything under the sun.
Aye, so at the end of the day, they're giving you the tools for the trade, and then you dump them once you've killed her, or killed them, or whoever it may be. And that's the bit I don't get, is it's not like they're throwing you in with stealth, with a trank gun, and going, right, take him out, bare-handed and stuff. No, it's there, you just need to dig under the skin and find, you know what I mean? Find the stuff, you know? It's a kind of storm in a teacup kind of moment. I'm more annoyed at the fact he sounds like bloody Batman. I'm Adam Jenkins.
He is a bit gravelly voiced, kind of. But then again, JC was in the original Deus Ex as well.
That's another similarity.
Have you played the first Deus Ex?
Yes, played the second one. I really enjoyed the second one.
Yeah, isn't there a ton? Wouldn't you agree? There's a ton of similarity between the first Deus Ex and Human Revolution in kind of spirit.
There's a lot, which is
no bad thing.
The second one, yeah. The second one was kind of oddball, but it was more futuristic than what Human Revolutions is, but that's why it's a prequel.
It's a prequel, yeah. It's 20 years. If you go to the end and stay until the end credits, you'll get the cutscene that links the two.
Don't waste it.
I'm not giving it away. I'm just saying there's a bit at the end of the credits that links the two together.
Yeah. The achievement list gave it away as well, actually.
Exactly. But I love it. I love Deus Ex. At the moment, it's probably going to be my game of the year. At the moment, unless something comes along and tops it. Unless Arkham City comes along and tops it. It's going to be my game of the year.
Will you buy the DLC? Because there's standalone total end.
No, because and we've discussed it. Me and Tom have discussed this. I'm not going to, because I don't think it's... It basically takes up a part of the story. Whereas in the actual game on the disc, it'll just say, a couple of days later or whatever, and then get to the next bit.
Mm.
The DLC covers the events of those couple of days that the game itself skips.
So it's a bit like Assassin's Creed, how they did the bonfire of Florentine. And you were missing that.
From what I've played, that's right. Same idea.
And I just personally, I don't think that time needs filled. The way it was portrayed in the game made utter sense.
Quite adequate.
There was no need for that to be buggered with, basically.
And you don't get your augmentations in the DLC. It purposely takes away your augmentations, which to me just makes it crap.
It looks quite cool, but the whole I've heard a lot of people say as well, it pushes you into a stealth mode. If you know what I mean, I know. You can play it running gun, but it really does try to push you into a stealth mode, I think. I've got to Shanghai in it, and I still feel like it's pushing me into the stealth mode all the time, you know what I mean? It's too risky going in all guns blazing, because your health, you upgrade your health fair enough, but at the same time, it's like, there's always a back door, if you know what I mean. There's always another way that's a lot easier to get in than just shooting the guy in front.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, totally.
I'm using the Hive. The Hive's a well-publicised segment in the game. And the whole thing was, it was actually demoed, and you get in and you can pay off the doorman or shoot him and shit. But if you go around the back, there's a vent that lets you in, and it's like, well...
Yeah, I went in the vent at the back.
I paid him off.
But the thing is, the thing that got me was, you get in the vent, right, and you do your thing inside, you do your thing, and then you walk out the front door, and the doorman doesn't say, what the fuck?
Yeah, he doesn't give a shit.
Yeah, he's like, what the hell are you doing there? And then it's like, well, there you go, that's why you're playing a game.
Right, the main reason for getting young, gorgeous, handsome, sexually wonderful Furiak 3 on this, is mainly because, as you were saying earlier, he spent 5 days away in Afghanistan. And here he, London. And here he is at the Eurogamer Expo. And he was going to come on and have a wee chit-chat to the talky-talky of about that. So, Fury.
Yeah.
Fury.
Go.
How did Eurogamer go then?
Eurogamer was phenomenal. It's my second official Eurogamer I've been at, and this year they've upped the game. They went from Elscourt 2 to Elscourt 1, which is almost 3 times the size. And instead of last year, they had quite a few pods that were duplicates. This year, pretty much every pod was a standalone title. All your AAA titles were there. Battlefield, COD, Skyrim, Batman, Rage, Vita, the PSP Vita, Uncharted, The Journey, the list goes on. Ninja Gaiden, Rayman Origins, Just Dance, Ratchet & Clank, Mass Effect 3, Metal Gear Solid HD Collection, Rise of Nightmares, Metal Gear Solid on the DS, the new Ridge Racer, Pro Evo, FIFA, Sonic Generations, Tekken vs. Street Fighter, Saints Row the Third, Skyhawks, Silent Hill Downpour, Knights of the Old Republic, Tekken Hybrid, SSS, X, Trackmania 2, Space Marines, World at Tanks.
that is quite a few. Just to name a couple. I think at last count,
I played over 55 games.
Jeez.
Over the 3 days I was there. And I got to play all the hard hitters. Rather than me going and go, this was great. Is there anything yous want to know about? Like, is there any game specifically yous want me to...
Batman Arkham City.
Yeah, I was going to say Arkham City, man. Arkham City, let's have that first
Arkham
up.
City, to be honest, it's like... We've all played Arkham Asylum. Yep. Arkham Asylum was a great game.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. And you play the
Al hasn't, but just ignore that.
Okay. I played Batman Returns on the Super Nintendo.
Of course.
You start the demo. You start the demo off as Catwoman, who is... a lot more nimbler, she's quicker, she can
fitter.
Do a lot more acrobatics than what Batman can, because Batman's a bit of a bruiser in it. So she does the first bit, because she's trying to steal a SD card for Two-Face, and what happens is he ends up catching her, and then Batman comes in, and apparently, I was at a developer session where I got to meet the devs and artists and stuff, and 10% of the final game will be devoted to Catwoman, because her story runs... linear to the Batman one and the intertwined.
Alright.
So you do the Catwoman bit and she gets caught and then it spans out saying like 2 days later it cuts to Batman on a rooftop. Now at this point, when I played the demo I didn't realise this, but after talking to the devs and stuff, when it pans out, fundamentally you are in a free roam city. You can go anywhere you want and do anything you want. There is a waypoint which kind of, playing the demo myself, it was called a waypoint, right, I'll go there. And I did a mission. Watching the dev do it, he fucked off doing some back alley and started doing Riddler missions, like trophy missions. And I was like, well, that's impressive. So when I was doing the mission, I went in, dropped in for a great height, did in a couple of enemies, entered into the arena. And what it does is Two-Face has got Catwoman hanging in a vat of acid. And it's the whole, I'm going to drop you if the coin says so, sort of thing.
All right.
And it's like, it does like a mock court.
Wasn't that off Batman Forever?
Like, court on session kind of thing. So, fundamentally, you've got maybe 60 NPCs sitting cheering. And what happens is, you get found out, it's the Batman! As often happens. And when you drop into it, it brings in the new gladiatorial style combat. Mm-hmm. Where, instead of fighting 8 guys, you're fighting 18 guys at the one time, and these vary from light armoured to weaponised to heavy guys, to guys that will throw stuff at you in sticks. And you fight through the... It ends up that the Joker is trying to snipe Catwoman. So she's sitting talking to you, and Batman, with his carrying away bat sense, pushes her out the way, and the shot comes through the window. Through the window, and then Batman goes, right, detective mode. Whips open his thing and does his scanning. And
now, is detective mode any different
in
this time round? Because one of the big things they had in Arkham Asylum was the fact you could just... Some people played the entire game with detective mode turned on.
Totally different.
Because it was that useful.
It drops... Detective mode drops out, like, key things like waypoints and stuff are totally dropped out now. So you're in detective mode, you can see the world, and you can see it, and you go, oh, that's nice. But you can't actually see where you're going, if you know what I mean.
All right.
And you can't see certain Riddler trophies, and they've made it so that you will use detective mode as much, but you won't use it constantly, if you know what I mean. Because he's got this, like, cipher device, which he uses to triangulate the shot, where the shot came from. It comes through a bell tower. So then what you do is you leave the church or the court, you bat-a-marang, bat-hook your way over to the church to defeat the Joker. Well, no, defeat the Joker, but to inquire and to find out who's shot. So when you land there, it ends up Harlequin's there. And there's a nice wee bit between you and Harlequin. And then it kind of cuts, and that's the end of the demo kind of thing. But fundamentally, that's just the story bit that tells you. But when, like I say, you can come out and you can get into the world. And the Riddler's got a major part in this, because you collect Riddler trophies. The Riddler phones you and goes, I've got a hostage. And you go, okay, right. So it brings up the hostage on the map. You go to the hostage, right? Some of these will be crowd battles where there'll be guys pushing the hostage and stuff, and you'll need to drop in and do the dirty and eliminate the enemies to free the hostage. Other ones are like jigsaw puzzles, if you saw. It's like you went in a room and it's got an electrified floor and spinning blades and moving platforms, and you need to, through your many skills, your detective mode and stuff, and eliminate the dangers to get to the hostage. And the one they showed was, you do the thing, you get by all this and razzmatazz, and you get to the point and the hostage is hanging in midair. And what you have to do is bat hook the wall, shoot across, but at mid road, bat hook another wall. So fundamentally, you're going horizontal, and then you need to go parallel. Yeah, that's right. Parallel to the actual line.
Parallel.
So you shoot. Yeah, you shoot and you're flying across forward, and then you shoot and you do a backflip and you grab the hostage and you fly out of the exit with the hostage alive, hopefully, if all goes well.
I would like to announce at this point that I have a stoner for this game.
So does half the world.
Yeah, I know, but just from you talking about it, I am so excited for this game now, it's not even funny.
There's no need to on a podcast admit that you're sexually aroused by that, though, Ewan.
True.
Keep it under the table, pull a jumper over it, and no one knows it's there.
So I would say that draws an end to the Batman.
Pretty much, yeah. From Batman to erections.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, it's what happens. Did you have a chance to play the PSP Vita?
No, because the queues were unholy. Right. And I've got the...
What are they doing, that crazy card thing where you got a card depicting what game you were going to play on it?
No, what it was, this is the truth, right? There was a queue maybe 30, 40 people long. And then inside the Vita Arena, there was two round desks, and each desk had maybe 12 pods. Well, what happened was, you come in, wow, I'm inside the arena. And you walked over and you met a random PlayStation man. Hello, I'm Steve. How you doing, Steve? And Steve sat you down and talked you through the Vita. So fundamentally, you're getting one-on-one tutorials with the Vita. And it was like, if you imagine a queue 40 long, and each tutorial takes 15 minutes, and they're only going through 20-odd people. Yeah, it's not exact. It wasn't. It didn't jump out to me and go, I'm going to stand in queue for this. You know what I mean? Because I wanted hands-on time with titles. I didn't want to have Steve to tell me this is the Vita, because I've got the Sony Xperia Play, same phone as Tom, and I still think that's the pinnacle of the new mobile gaming. You know, and the Vita just didn't. I didn't want to go and sit and have somebody hold my hand. You know what I mean? I wanted to break free and play it, you know, and actually be able to turn and go, yeah, this is a good piece of hardware, instead of having Steve go to me, yeah, if you hold the X button, the Y button, it was all, I think for bodies to crowd, inside the pen, I think we counted something like 35 bodies inside the pen, and there was only like 12 people, like public, in that pen.
Jeez.
It was crazy, and it was like, it was the biggest waste of space in the world. Instead of building a rack with 12 Vitas, having them all working with demos of games, and what is all at it. They had to do this whole Sony, we'll hold your hand and we'll tell you this and we'll tell you that. I was just, no, I'm sorry, I can actually go and play real games here, you know, I mean, games that I want to play.
Okay.
So, sadly, the Vita got missed.
At least they weren't attached to pretty ladies like the 3DS.
No, yeah, well, Nintendo brought out their hoor army again and had them hooring the DS, running about the arena, you know. With Zelda
Release
t-shirts
the Fembots!
Yeah, we Zelda t-shirts on this year. Ooh, Zelda 25th
anniversary. Nice. Yes. Lovely. Yes, it's lovely. How was Journey?
Oh, yeah.
Because I remember you saying on Twitter you were quite liking that.
It's to me, I know nothing of it because it's a PlayStation game, but when I sat down and played it, it's just oddly calming, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You're just wandering through the dunes, and the dunes are beautiful animated as your character slides down the dunes, the sand ripples below your feet, and then you'll find buildings, and in the buildings there's like tapestries or something that come to life. When the tapestries come to life, creatures fly out, and the flying creatures touch your character, and your character grows wings and can fly for a short time. And you can't, you can just walk through the sand dunes to start with, and then you can fly for short periods of time with these little creatures helping you, and it's beautiful. And that's coming for me, you know what I mean? Because I did say that unofficially, that is my game of the show, you know? It was the most visually stimulating, pleasurable game there, you know?
When I saw you put that down, I thought, I'd heard about Journey, but I thought this must be something really special. So over everything else that was there to make it your game of the show.
Well, my top three were Halo Anniversary, Battlefield 3, and Journey. So make do the math, you know what I mean? Yeah. You've got two diehard FPSs that I can't wait to get my hands on, and this, which is on a platform I do not have. But 4 is beautiful. I sit online and play 4 on the website, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's just one of the games that, it's like Child Eden. Child Eden's not a game, it's an experience. You experience these kind of games like Rez. You experience Rez. You don't just play Rez, because when you go into Rez, every time you shoot, you make a note and stuff. Well, it's the same with Journey. And for what I hear is, you'll go through the world and meet other characters, and your characters will help each other. So it's not exactly like there's any goal. And to date, I don't think they've actually announced what the overall end game is of Journey.
They haven't. They've kind of been pretty up in the air about that one.
Yeah, you just wander. You go through the world and you meet characters, and each character is an actual person. So say you find a building that's too high, well, I can come and help you jump up to it, if you know what I mean. But in no way think it is a standard platform game, because it's not.
Right.
It's just, there's nothing, as far as the eye can see, is, like, see, think of From Dust on a really, really, really high res level, and then put you on ground level. Now From Dust had that wonderful mechanic where you could grab the ball and the dust just fell through the ball once it was kind of stable and stuff. It's whole kind of physics engine they've got in it. So, like, I love the fact that you got to the top of the dune, and when your character was going down, he ran for a few steps and then he slid. And when he slid, it was as if a wave came in front of him, you know? It's just lovely, you know?
Sounds cool.
Is that wipe tears really from good. My eyes?
Wipe tears from your eyes, and then you,
there you go.
Solemnly...
That's probably the most emotional review I've ever done.
We've made Fury cry. That's incredible. Very, very quickly, just to end on, any other highlights at all? Any other highlights?
Okay. Top, 24-player multiplayer game, land multiplayer game of Battlefield 3 was amazing. To be able to play...
Alright.
Last year was by Medal of Honor. This year was Battlefield. It was amazing. And you guys out there in the real world can now experience that as the beta, because the beta came online just today. I'd advise you all to play it. It's an amazing game. If you've played Battlefield, you'll sink back into the soul. Yeah, but to have 24-player multiplayer is amazing. Same goes for Halo. Halo was 8-on-8 multiplayer, if you know what I mean.
Ooh.
And it was hot seats, so they had the two stands, and all it was you sit down, have a round, like, that's it, I'm done, and you'd get up and guys would take your place, so it was never winner stays on, and we must have played about maybe 12 games of Halo just as we were passing, because it was in the middle of the room, it was in the middle of the hall. So as we were going from one side to the next, it was like, oh, Halo's finishing, jump on Halo, quick game of Slayer, right, done, and then we'll move on to the next one, you know?
Yeah.
I almost got my head kicked in by Stormtroopers, which was quite embarrassing, but fun.
Oh, yeah.
Because they were promoting Knights of the Old Republic, and me stupidly wanted my picture taken with them. I don't know if you saw on Twitter, they put me on my knees with my hands behind my back and made me scream, I love the Empire, as loud as I could, in front of 200 to 300 people, which was a bit of a redneck. Call of Duty was quite a nice surprise. They were showing Spec Ops. Me and my brother got to wave 15 on it. Can't really tell much of a Spec Ops mission, you know what I mean? It's basically like Horde, wave after wave enemy. Yeah. But what we played was really nice. Quite cool concept. You can buy kit now, so you could buy guns and stuff. But you could also buy like airstrikes, but you could also, within the airstrikes, was like one level Spec Ops. So the Spec Ops guys come down ropes, like Rambo, and they sit and fight with you. And they do fight. They don't just sit there and die. They do fight. Right. And then the next level was Riot Shield guys. So you get your Riot Shield guys then. And waves were like, you start off with like African militia, and then it would be Spetsnaz soldiers, and then it would be Spetsnaz soldiers and dogs, then attack helicopters, which were quite a pain in the ass.
I can imagine.
And then it would drop in a juggernaut when attack helicopter. So you were fighting a juggernaut and an attack helicopter. And it just keeps building and building and building. And we got as high as 15, and then we kind of were like, we could be here all day, you know. Other things, Dark Souls was amazing.
Mm.
Dark Souls, terrible game to play at an expo. Any game like that is terrible. You need more than 15 minutes.
Totally.
A lot of pre-unlocked kit, went in, played it, watched quite a few people play it, then when I played it, survived for a good wee bit, and then I got my arse handed to me, and I was like, well, there you go, that's it.
Thanks very much.
I also get dog tags made for Battlefield. So you know how in Battlefield, I forgot to say that, now in Battlefield when you stab somebody, you grab their tags?
Yes.
Well, I now have Fury Ace Battlefield dog tags with my name.
Nice.
Well, it says Fury... It says Fury Ace, my date of birth, and I'm Scottish, and I am a engineer.
Alan Milburn, the Retro Games Emporium, and this month, something special.
Well, kind of special. It's kind of quite funny. I've decided to take the Emporium on location.
Oh, this month. Well, there we go.
And we're in the sunny seaside town of Blackpool.
Oh, well, yeah, you see, which Fury mentioned earlier.
He did.
A bit, that's why I thought, oh, it's funny she mentioned Blackpool.
Ties in nicely.
Mm.
And it's really my experience on the arcade. I know we've mentioned before, but this is the modern arcade, so to speak.
The modern arcade. Ooh. The flea pits.
This one misconception. The arcades were immaculate in that way. They weren't dirty, they were clean, there was no chavs hanging around or beating old women up, there's nothing like that. They were all well manned, well staffed, well cleaned. It wasn't what you expect.
How many men does it take to man an arcade? Is it like a battleship?
Usually it's quite a few because it's to keep the drunks out, I guess. There's a lot of security guards
around there. Keep the undesirables out.
There was one guy getting thrown out when he couldn't understand why, despite holding a can of Strongbow in his hand, which I found quite amusing. He couldn't understand why the security guard wanted them to leave, but I don't know. But no, they're still there. Blackpool still thrives with arcades. There must be about 7 or 8 of them still there. So what does the modern arcade have in?
Go on.
Well, as you expect, it's mainly gambling.
Aye.
Mainly gambling, and it's still a few, usually the bigger, larger arcade machines survived, where you get to sit in and wiggle your joysticks and play your stuff. Shoot your guns. House of the Dead's still big.
All right.
House of the Dead 1 to 4.
1 to 4?
Various arcades scattered around.
I didn't even know there was 4.
There's 4. You had that, you had Rambo. Which I think we've got at the bowling in Carlisle.
I think we have, actually.
Yeah, that was also a big one. The old Jurassic Park was still there.
Oh, awesome.
And one other little tidbit. Jurassic Park is actually showing at the pictures tonight as we speak in Carlisle.
Oh.
And I wanted to go.
You finally caught up.
I wanted to go, but
No. We already moved it for your pub quiz.
Yes. So other arcades featured Deal or No Deal.
You're telling me there's a Noel Edmonds arcade game?
Yeah, it's just like the TV shows you imagine, but it's for tickets.
All right. Okay.
It's like, you know, tickets, because if you get so many tickets, you win prizes.
Yeah.
Which is good. We won a lot of teddy bears. But yeah, you can deal on 100 tickets or 50 tickets or whatever like that.
Yeah, there's something like Escape in Bray Head where it's like you go to the arcade, you play your coins, you get a ticket, and it's like $250,000 to win a PlayStation 3.
Yes.
It's like, whoa, well, that's...
Yeah.
That's a good... That's a, that, that's a, that's like half my life.
It would take a considerable length of time to do that, to win them. But yeah, there's Wii and widescreen televisions and exercise bikes, and you name it, you can win it.
Why the hell do I want an exercise bike?
Well, to exercise.
No, but you're in an arcade. You're not exactly... Most people in an arcade aren't exactly the exercising type. Unless they're really determined and they can't afford to go into Argus, like, right, if I keep playing this, I'll be able to afford the exercise bike I've always wanted.
But it's the thrill of winning, isn't it? That's what you do it for. You do it for the thrill of winning. It's half the stuff in that arcade you can buy for a lot less than what it's worth, but
yes,
it's the thrill of winning it. That's what, you know, that's what it is. It's the fun of beating Noel Edmonds at dealing. In fact, Noel Edmonds isn't even on it. They couldn't even afford the license for it.
Some other guy getting images of Noel Edmonds' digitized beard.
No, there's no pitch. It's just his voice. Someone else's voice is doing it.
Someone else's voice?
Yeah, someone else's voice.
Rubbish.
Even Noel Edmonds.
Rubbish.
But tucked at the back of one arcade, a bit retro-y, virtual tennis.
Oh, now.
30 pence a go.
30p a throw for virtual tennis?
For virtual tennis,
to this day.
So played that, a couple of games of that. Star Wars Trilogy Arcade was also there, where you sit in the cockpit. Made by Sega in 1998.
Oh, ingenious.
That was a throwback, wasn't it?
That was a bit of a throwback.
Anyone else interact with that?
No.
Never.
Oh, it's brilliant game. No. I might save it for next month. And Star Wars Pod Racer.
Oh,
I remember that on the N64.
Yeah, it was shit, and it's not much
it
better than the
arcade. It was absolutely awful.
It is. What's good about it is it's tremendously complicated, because you've got like two handles. You're sitting down, you've got two handles.
Oh, yeah.
And you move one, your right hand, your left hand, you're going to move down to steer left, and your right hand, you've got to move down to steer right. Mm-hmm. You're pushing both up to go really fast. And you've got like a little break, and I had four goals of it, and I still never completed the first goal. So it's ridiculously complicated to steer.
Well, by that we know that you're never going to grow up and leave the empire.
I'm afraid so.
Oh well, never mind.
But no, it's great fun, and then no arcades complete without the two penny falls.
Did you win anything on the penny falls?
I did, but I found this hilarious.
Oh.
That on the two penny falls, there's a gambling addiction sticker. You addicted to gambling?
Are you addicted to... Have you lost 24p this week?
Don't worry, love. I'll win the house back. I'm on the two penny falls.
I'm on the two penny falls. I'm going to win it back. I'm going to pay off all my gambling debts in 125 years' time.
The whole machine probably only contains a penny.
Yeah.
That's what's so great with the machines. They're so flashy and so pretty, but you know exactly there's like £1.24 or something inside of it. It's like, I must keep playing this. And by the time you put £2 in, you're like... Wait a minute, this is stupid.
Pretty much, yeah.
But not only that, they had a Star Trek one. And every time you put the two pence in, it used to go, boom, the noise of the phaser. I'm like, oh, fucking shut up, I don't want to hear the phaser anymore.
I'm here. Yes.
Did you not put it in and then it was like, onwards to the old gods for the money. Here I am, Patrick Stewart, able to do some penny falls on my balding bolts.
No? And he's another great one.
Lo, the penny bounced, and it bounced down the spindles. It was pushed over... And then the bastarding thing didn't fall down. I was disappointed.
Yeah, I had to go get the guy who, you know, one of the many staff members to open the arcade when I won things. It wouldn't come down the bottom. It's like, put £5 in, try to win the fucking thing. I'm getting it. And to be fair, they give us it. I probably didn't look scummy with a kind of strong bone in my hand. So
it probably helped you.
No, I mean, this is a great copyright infringement, this, so all getting away with it. They've got a sort of like an Indiana Jones style quiz machine, like fruit machine.
Aye.
With a woman.
All right.
And can you guess what it's called?
No.
Laura Jones.
Oh, God. Oh my god.
Yes, that's how you get away with copyright.
Oh, you are fucking joking.
Laura Jones Ticket Raider is what it was called.
Jesus.
Right. Okay.
And you win tickets off it. And also the XXX Terminator.
Ooh.
which sounds like it should be a porn star. That was another machine they had, the ingenious of the arcades. Now, in the adult section, so to speak, not like a bookshop, or a video shop, they've got the big gamblers waiting with 500 quid.
Right.
I don't play on them.
No.
But, you know, if you're there for the day, you know, you might want to go for something to eat or something to drink and leave the arcade. No, they've got a woman pushing a trolley full of sandwiches offering you free sandwiches.
Oh, yes. Oh, this sounds great.
I think we need to go to this place immediately.
That
was Coral Island, the big piratey place in Blackpool. British. Good arcade.
Sounds amazing.
It's like Vegas on the cheap. Well.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
where in Vegas do you get a woman walking around with a trolley of sandwiches? Isn't that?
Well, they just come with free drink, you know what I mean? It's like,
exactly, Willie.
So, I mean, next to the arcades, not the arcades we grew up with in the sense of having back-to-back video games.
No.
But the majority of stuff you can't possibly have in your house unless you're rich for the big scale, you know, big scale driving games, simulators.
There to pay someone to wheel around a trolley full of sandwiches around your house.
There's people just sitting in front of games looking miserable, and there's a trolley going around going, "Would you like a sandwich, sir?"
I've just got an image of Mrs. Doyle from Father Ted
coming
out.
Like a sandwich, father.
You might be knee deep in that beat 'em up of yours there, but would you like a cup of tea?
They're all Polish, ironically.
They're all Polish. I can't say it.
Yeah,
it's
good.
Get a cup of tea. That's racist.
And the teddy grabbers are also there that you never
want
to. You know, the teddy grabber, you know, the claw thing.
Oh, right.
For something.
I did. I was a bit kind of like, well, teddy grabbers? What? The teddy grabbers? Are they a renowned thing in Blackpool? We've arrested another one of them teddy grabbers.
It's actually the guys that give out the mascot suits stealing Wayne's at the pleasure beach. Ah, you're coming with me, child. And then they take them back to Patrick Stewart and he's like,
oh no.
Wayward Warrior. Wayward Warrior has returned for child without a chance of a £5 repeat.
Oh my god.
Ah, it seems Tony the Tiger has brought back two younglings. Ah.
Why is Patrick Stewart a wizard?
Patrick Stewart's mascot paedophile ring.
Oh god.
Anyway, how can you know?
Right, where was it? I've lost my stride if I have ever had one. Yes, back to sandwiches and things.
Aye.
I think the arcade died out a lot, and it's a lot of gambling machines that keep it going. And but I still think there's a place certainly in Blackpool for them. I think you wouldn't get away with arcades in many other places, but Blackpool, like I said, still got about 8 of them, so it still strives quite strong, and it's always full of people, and it's a good laugh. So it's nice to see that one of my favourite childhood hobbies hasn't quite died off completely, and I love going to Blackpool, and it's still quite good. Shame there's not as much. I think they've missed a thing not having many retro machines there, but I guess maybe people wouldn't pay the 30 pence or whatever if they could download them on the internet.
Choice of making 30 pence on an old game or putting 30 pence in that Penny Falls arcade machine to pay off your house.
I know.
Difficult. It's a difficult choice. Difficult choice.
I'm 24 pence towards that. I just couldn't get
24
over.
Pence off that mortgage.
Have you got trouble with gambling? Do you keep spending the money till it's all run out? All 72 pence of it, you know?
Oh, man.
No, I really enjoyed my arcade experience, and I might go into one of the games next month.
Yeah.
No, I shall end it there, and that's the Emporium on Locate.
Excellent. There we go. Fantastic. Closed again. Well, that's it. Another episode of Break for Frogger in the bag. I say that every month, don't I?
I always
say it in the bag every month. It's getting a bit tired now, actually. But this bit's usually quite samey. There's nothing really you can do to change an outro, is it, where you go on about the email address?
Well, Nick Ross used to do the same outro for Crime Watch years after years after years.
Well, he can do it then. Fuck him, then.
And he decided to change it one week, and he got so many letters from Point of View.
Did he?
That he just changed it back forever. Yeah.
Is this Don't Have Nightmares?
Yep. Don't Have Nightmares. Gary Glitter's in prison.
Oh, okay. No problem. Well, if you want to get in touch with the show, then email breakforfrogger@gmail.com and let us know what's happening and what your opinions on the show are. And if you listen out there, then please do carry on and get in touch with us. I'm on Twitter as @CrippleH.
I'm @RunawayBomber.
I really must download a new app on my phone.
Because Al's Twitter's not working on his iPhone.
Yeah. I'm @WarrenUwen.
Fury.
I am at Fury AC3 on Twitter, but I also write for GilGamersUK.com. So if you're ever looking for reviews of an unbiased nature, reviews, previews, and generally gaming goodness on all of gamerdom, definitely give us a look up, because we're always welcoming people to come over and have a look. It's a great wee site.
There you go.
Excellent. One last little thing before we go as well. I just want to plug a wee website that I've just started out at the start of the month there, that I've written a Street Fighter Third Strike review for. And that's eggsayswhat.com. That's what spelt W-H-U-T. We'll probably try and put a link up on the sidebar on the Break for Frogger website.
Certainly will.
Because they're nice fellas, and the forum's really good as well. So if you go on the forum, they have a good old giggly time there. So I thought I'd give them a wee plug and a wee shout out before we go. Right, so that's it for this month. We shall see you next month, people. Stand by and do have nightmares.
Bye.
Good night.
Night.
Good night, bye.
Hulk Hogan arrives! Oh my God! Is he the third man?
He's the third man!
What the hell is going on here?
Hulk Hogan has betrayed WCW! He is the third man!
Look
in
at this
picture!
Oh my God! What the hell is going on?
Oh my God!
Are you kidding me?